Well, it's great to be in our new meeting room. It's been a trial the last five weeks. For those of you who have managed to avoid us, we had a little two-burner camp stove out there. We had some amazing meals. We had three microwaves, which all worked fantastically well. And
No fridge.
We used a cooler box for putting our milk in. Our old fridge is still outside. But it's great. Thank you to Jessica yesterday coming to clean the floor. We had some extra help from other people. It was great. And just to not have so much dust around is fantastic. But great. So we've suffered a little, but we're in the reward of that now. So I'm very excited about talking to you this morning about a subject that isn't very attractive when you first talk about the word suffering. I've entitled it Jesus Dealing with Suffering. And so how does Jesus help us deal with suffering? So first of all, I'm going to try and go through four things this morning. Just say, what is suffering and what does that mean in God's plan and purpose? Talk about what Jesus suffered, see how Jesus suffered. What does that mean for us today? What's the reality of that? And how does Jesus help us today? I can talk about what he did in the past, but how does he help us today? So those are the four things I'm going to try and touch on. Obviously, I won't be able to cover the whole realm of suffering and pain throughout the world that there is. But suffering is true, but it's not. Many people suffer. We know that. But what is suffering? It can be at an individual level, or it can be a world global level. Personally, it's physical suffering, mental, emotional. It could be sickness. It could be abuse, violence. I mean, there's so many things. I don't need to list it. I mean, you could probably think, yeah, it means this to me. It means that I'm working hard, and it's not going my way, and I'm really struggling with life and all the pressures that are coming on to me. But one thing I'm pretty sure of, that it wasn't God's original plan and purpose that we lived in a world that was full of suffering and pain. Chris gave us a really good illustration a couple of weeks ago, so I don't want to go through everything again about the fall of man and what God's original purpose was. But it is mankind has gone and done his own thing, gone against God, fallen out of a relationship, and a lot of that is caused that suffering. When we do our own thing, it causes some suffering in our lives. And that's not God's original purpose. God wanted us to be in communion, be in relationship with him in a world that was full and peaceful and joyful and marvellous. They called it the Garden of Eden as an illustration. It was a perfect place to be. So suffering comes, I know for myself, but suffering comes when I do things my own way, when I make poor choices. And that's true for many people, isn't it? When we make poor choices, then sometimes that results in an amount of suffering or upset or distress for us. And you can see it all around. People make poor choices. Drugs, alcohol, selfishness, greed, they all drive poor choices. And when you look around, you see people who are obviously in need. One of the things, kind of myth bust here, I don't believe that suffering is a punishment for your sin. So, for example, if you have a brain hemorrhage, I don't believe that's because you have done something wrong in your life. We've all done things wrong in our life. You're not being punished for that. So it's not a punishment. When we make a choice and do things, then that happens. So we do live with consequences of wrongdoing. So, for example, thinking about this, if I smoke 100 cigarettes a day, then I might get lung cancer, and that might be because I smoked. It was a choice I made, and now I'm living in that. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. And of course, globally, there is suffering, and we can see that with war, greed, we see homelessness, we see deprivation, we see all those things around the world, and we see, obviously, the individual. So that's, from my perspective, maybe a little bit of an example of what suffering could be like, and you will have your own thoughts about what suffering is for you. I'm going to ask a couple of people to read out, and I haven't primed them for this. So can you read out Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 6? And Michelle, could you put your finger in Psalm 23 for me? Sorry. And Pri, have you got a Bible? Yeah. Great. Could you look at 1 Peter 4, 12?
What verse is it?
53, 3 to 6. So this is, I just want to move on to explain that Jesus suffered. We're using back for the Old Testament, because this passage just gives us a bit of a view about what Isaiah, an old Hebrew prophet, would say that the Saviour of the world must do, go through, in order that we have a relationship with him. So we're going to read this just... think about what the words are saying.
Okay.
53:3.
He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and we looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Do you want the next one?
That was 6.
Yeah.
No, I don't, because okay. We could actually go on and on and on and on, and it would be all really, really good to listen to. Everything that Jesus was prophesied to endure, he endured at the cross. And in Mark 15, and some of you have been reading Mark recently, haven't you, Jessica? Have you got to that bit yet?
15. Mark 14.
14, okay. Well, Mark 15 and Mark 16 tell us that Jesus was crucified on a cross, that he was mocked, he was ridiculed, he was rejected. Mm-hmm. He was abandoned by the people around him, his friends, they all left him. He suffered pain, he had a crown of thorns put on his head, he was whipped, and eventually he was hung on a cross with nails through his hands, and he was raised up on the cross in excruciating pain that led to his death. But the good news is that in Mark 16 we read that Jesus was laid in a tomb, but he rose again and he was alive. He defeated death. He defeated all those things that put him into the grave. He defeated them. The fact that Jesus went through all that means that he knows and empathises with our suffering, with our feelings, of our distress. None of us, I don't suppose, have been through all those things. But we've experienced some of them in part. But Jesus knows what it's like to go through those things. He knows what it's like to be rejected. And that's our hope. Jesus, the fact that he rose again, he promises, as Hilton was saying, a new life. In Revelation it talks about a new kingdom, a new heaven, a new earth, where we're in relationship with Jesus. And it's going to be amazing. Fantastic. As God planned it in the first place, mm-hmm. without this sickness, death and suffering. Mm-hmm. That's how he wanted it to be. Our relationship is restored and it will be amazing. And that's our hope. So when we go through things that cause us distress, and it might be that we're not getting our assignments in on time, or, well, so many pressures on me at the moment. When we take a step back, we understand what God has a plan and purpose for us. And that is the plan and purpose. And things that are around us are not so significant because we've got this wonderful, wonderful hope for the future. So what does that mean for us today? Another myth buster is that becoming a Christian means that you'll never have any problems, the life is rosy, you can have no pressure, right? You may have heard that, maybe you haven't heard that, but that's what some people say. I've become a Christian. I used to stand on the quayside in Newcastle going, it's brilliant being a Christian, it's never been better. But actually, the reality is, things do happen to you and I am in distress and I am lived through pain. So Mythbuster, please, Apriya.
So 1 Peter 4:12.
Please, yeah.
Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you.
Yeah, fiery ordeal. So don't be surprised. So when I talk about following Jesus, we've got this eternal hope, but that does still mean that we have to go through some trials. And we, in this room, we could go around and I could guarantee we could say, listen, this is what has happened to me, this and this is what's happened to me. And how God was with us. But the reality is, we do go through these trials. But God is with us. Psalm 23 helps us to understand that a little bit.
Not the whole psalm?
Just a bit. Write the verse down. Where we come to his table. Verse 6, I think it is.
Alright, yeah. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
One back.
Even though I walk through the valley. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, some translations call it the valley of the shadow of death. Or the darkest valley, it says.
Yeah.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's because it's talking about Jesus being the shepherd.
So even though we walk through the valley, we can come to Jesus. Even though we walk through the valley, where it's our deep places, because he's prepared a table for us. And the table, I don't know what you think of when you think of a table, of food, and but it's actually it's about relationship. When we come to God's table, we come, it's a metaphor, we come for relationship with God, we come and be with him, he feeds us, we're connected with him. It's really exciting and it's really comforting. When I go through dark times, it's nice when, and this has happened to me, come round for a meal. We haven't seen you for a long time. Come round for a meal. I know it's been bad for you. When friends do that, come round for a meal. It's great. They comfort you. And that's like coming into God's presence. Mm-hmm. They help us and walk with us. So even though I walk through, Sue and I, and me personally have experienced a number of challenges over life. Bereavement. Recently we lost Sue's mum. Even though we went through that valley, God was with us. We came to a table. We've experienced disappointments. As some of you know, Sue was diagnosed with cancer this year, and every time we went to the doctors, there was another reason, another negative, which asked us questions. But even though we were going through that, we came to God and we found comfort. And I want to talk about the reality of that briefly later on. I used to be a police officer, and in order to get through the ranks to be promoted, you have to take exams. I didn't do so well in the first time I took my exams, or when I went for promotion. And I can remember one particular occasion. I think I'd failed my promotion exam to be an inspector for the fourth time. And every time I went for my feedback, it was like, oh God, you did really well. But we just didn't, there was always a reason. But I remember particularly that final time, going, God being with me, and knowing that he was walking with me, and I didn't feel distressed. I didn't break down in tears. I didn't think I'd let the whole world down. You know, God, because God was walking with me. There are disappointments. So God was working with me in a disappointment. We've been disappointed in other locations where friends have gone away. They've been our friends, and then they said, actually, we're going somewhere else, we're doing this. So we've been abandoned, we've been rejected. I don't know if you've experienced that. We've gone through some financial struggles, but we know that God has been with us. So yeah, there are many, many, many other things that we could talk about, but I won't. Jesus is with us. When I come to his table, when we come to in relationship with him, when we know him, then he is with us. So how is God with us today? Because I'm painting this picture. Why, we come to God. Yes. And you're all thinking, well, if you're like me, I'll be thinking, oh, how do we do that then? How do I meet God? How does God represent himself to me? How does Jesus meet with me today? Because surely he died 2,000 years ago. How is he alive and working in your life today? It's about getting to know who Jesus is, first of all. You've got to know who he is to start to have that relationship. So for me, when I've walked through tough times, sometimes I've had to rely on what's on the past, on my experience. But I prepare myself by getting to know Jesus. How do we know Jesus? We read the Bible, we talk, we come to church, we listen to podcasts. We prepare ourselves. So, for example, if you who live in typhoon country or hurricane countries, if you know there's a hurricane coming or a typhoon coming, what would you do? Well, I've seen it on the news, and you go out and board up your windows, you prepare in advance for the coming storm. In the UK, it rains quite a bit, particularly during the winter, although sometimes quite a lot during the summer as well. We know that's going to happen. We know that it's going to rain quite heavily over the next 3 or 4 months, and it might even snow. A good pair of Wellingtons is an essential bit of kit to have. You know, we prepare in advance, don't we? So we know. So what I do in preparing for some of the storms that I know is going to come, because we've been told that don't be surprised that storms are going to come, is getting to read the Bible, understand who Jesus is, and prepare yourself in advance. So that's one thing about how we can get to prepare ourselves. But also the other thing is, it's huge, When we come to the table, we come to other people. Mm-hmm. We come to other people who know Jesus, who support and encourage us. Mm-hmm. Chris, I text a few people and said, I might want you to speak. I've chosen Chris. So the other two can relax.
Remind me, this is...
This is how you went through your one, when you met with people. You went through...
Yeah. In the Old Testament is by and large a story of the Israelites being saved by God, forgetting God, getting into bother, and then God saving them. And it goes around a lot, and they keep messing up, and they keep forgetting God. And I find myself very much like the nation of Israel, in that when things are going well, I might remember to read my Bible, I might remember to praise God. There comes a point where I panic, and that's largely forgotten. And then God is faithful. And then in hindsight, I realise that God is faithful. And for me, I can't say I have often felt the presence of God in a particularly dire moment, but I can look back in my life and think God was there. And the reason that's a good thing is because my resilience is increased, my faith in God is increased, because I know that he has been faithful. Jeremy asked me yesterday what it means to have God sort of, what does it mean to have Jesus help you through difficulties, because it's quite difficult to sort of anchor down. And I said, I can't really remember many times where I've sat there, a Bible verse has come to mind, and my mind has been changed and I felt happy afterwards. That hasn't happened to me. I can think of lots of times, though, that people around me have changed the way I've been thinking and have got me out of the dumps. Priya has done that often. When I lived with Jeremy and Sue last year, that happened often. God doesn't design anyone to be on their own. God designs people to be in community, to be in a family, be in relationships of one sort or another, and it is through those things that God has helped me. I think that's probably, when I look back, what it means to have, have Jesus help you through something.
Mm. Yeah, and I'll add what you said to me as well, is that Chris was saying he went through a trial. And it was a small trial, but he felt it was big. And he got rooted into God, got God's people around him, and he encountered Jesus by people mm-hmm. and conversation and hearing what God is saying through that. Mm. The next time something happened, it seemed to be bigger than the last time, but he knew that God had touched his life the previous time, and he drew on that. And so each time, it builds our character. One of our core things within Durham Community Church is to know Jesus better. And know Jesus in a way that's meaningful and a reality for our lives. We can come and you can hear a nice message, we can listen to lots of podcasts, but actually what we really want to say is, what does it mean to you? What is Jesus saying to you? How does Jesus impact you today? How can he support you? And we want to be there for each other. And so we've changed our kind of little bit of way we meet. We don't meet twice a week on a Sunday and a Tuesday night as we did. We actually said we want to meet with people during the week at a time that's convenient with each other and spend one-to-one or one in a small group supporting, encouraging, so we can get into the real issues of life, so that we're supported. We want to strengthen one another in God. You know, there are times when, and you find this in mentoring, we were talking to Chris and Priya last night about mentoring. Mentees come and they go, oh, we're fine. But there are other occasions, somebody might just go, do you know what, I'm really struggling here. Mm. And so then they can come alongside and help. And that's that heart of wanting to be alongside one another. Do you know that it means it's a commitment and it means a little bit of work, But the benefits of getting alongside one another, encouraging one another, is preparing for the future. It helps us through those tough times. When I've feeling low, are there somebody who's going to, I can get along, be open and vulnerable to, and we can help them. And that's what we're doing. So if you're part of this church, then that's available to you. Also, Jessica and others, Sue, are meeting different people outside of the church, just for conversation, Jessica's taken some people through the Gospel of Mark. So there's opportunities. Lily, you're going to that as well, aren't you? Lily and a number of others. Mm-hmm. Just, we want to build those relationships with each other, to strengthen one another at the point where we really hurt. So that's why we're doing that. That's what, as a community, we gather together, all together on a Sunday, have food together. But during the weeks, we want to meet each other and be growing, preparing to support one another, being close to one another. Because when we as individuals, we know Jesus, and we are Jesus to other people. I think that's what I would say. If you're going through some point in your life where you're struggling, then we want to pray with you. We want you to know that you can access Jesus. And you can access Jesus today. The reality of that is you can access him through other people, through his word, and he's available to you through prayer. There's probably more I want to say. It's just, I want to finally say, just go back. We need to understand, when we're going through sufferings, we need to understand that Jesus has already done this, has gone through this on the cross. He knows what our sufferings are like. However small or however great, he's experienced. And he wants to be alongside us. And he does that mainly through the Word of God, the Bible, and the people of God. And I think that those are two key things. There are others, which we talk about in the future. But they are key elements, just some key elements. So get the understanding that relationship with Jesus, and understanding that what his cross has done for us. And just understand that there is the eternal perspective. You know, this life is temporary, but we're looking forward to a time when we will be with Jesus in a new heaven and a new earth, restored into the relationship as he intended. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can I share something? Just quickly. When we were doing worship, I was reminded of an image that I once got in my mind when I was in a big church and we were worshipping, a bit like we were today. And the image that I saw had a deep, deep impact on my heart and my understanding of what Jesus did for me. And I'll try and describe what I saw. So I saw a red carpet, and when people are very famous or royal or celebrities, they roll out a big red carpet to welcome them, Buckingham Palace, you know. And so I saw this long, long, long red carpet, and then I looked up, and I saw Jesus as a man walking along this red carpet, and he was looking at me. And I looked at him and I thought, what's he wearing? Because you would expect a king or a queen or a royal person or even a famous celebrity to have the most grand clothes on, you know, royal robes or the latest designer fashion, whatever. But Jesus wasn't wearing anything like that. He was, all I can describe it was like filthy, dirty rags that were hanging on his body. And I felt really upset because I thought, this is the Son of God and he's walking on a royal carpet towards me, but he's carrying all these rags and dirty, disgusting clothes. What's going on? So, you know, this was happening in the worship, so I'm like, Lord, what does this mean? What does this mean? This is so upsetting to look at. And I was just reminded, you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus, when he died on the cross, he took on all of our wrongdoing, all of our bad thoughts, our wrong attitudes, the things we've done wrong, when we've let people down, when we've said hurtful things, whatever it is, addictions, pain, violence, abuse, he took it at that moment on that cross when he died there. And this image that I saw of him walking towards me was, it was, he wasn't wearing his royal robes, because actually he was wearing my sin, my wrongdoing, my filthy rags, you know, he was carrying them along as he walked along towards me, looking at me. And I just felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, that's what Jesus did for you. He took all of that horrible, filthy stuff that can go on in our hearts and our minds. He took it all so that you don't have to carry it through your life. He took all that shame. He took all that pain, and he was prepared to do that, even as a Son of God and a King. And I sobbed actually, because in that moment something was revealed to me in a very deep, personal, meaningful way. And I'm just sharing that with you, because when we pray, it might be that you will get that revelation in your mind of what I saw as well, and know what that means to you.
Okay. Hilton.